Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
I really don't know. I don't. When he does come back, I don't know.
I don't know. I was looking at the video. I think it looks, I mean, you have him throwing yesterday. It looks like it's the left foot. No one has asked what foot it is.
Oh, we haven't? I guess that's true. We haven't really.
Maybe they haven't disclosed what foot it is.
Have they said like the planting foot?
Nothing. Okay. So we don't know if it's left or right, but I thought it was left. I wrote down a bunch of numbers. What was that?
We got her. JLC, you wrote down a bunch of numbers. You want to mention those before we get to Jennifer Lee Chan?
I wrote down a bunch of numbers, and we can get to Jennifer Lee Chan here in a second. But, like, Kendrick Bourne in two games has more yards than Juwan Jennings had in two of his four seasons in the NFL.
That's pretty insane.
Before this year.
And, of course, Juwan Jennings then, he was behind the likes of Ayuk, Debo.
Yeah. And I'm not trying to hate on him. I'm just saying, like, in two games, like, that's how prolific Kendrick Bourne has been. It's crazy.
And why has Kendrick Bourne been the number one target for some of those? Well, Juwan Jennings either not being there or too busy yelling at the head coach on the sideline.
Well, that and Mac Jones, the synergy.
There you go. By the way, you mentioned it. Jennifer Lee Chan joins us now on the River Islands guest line. As all guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands guest line. Isn't it time for you to discover the islands, River Islands, and Lathrop? Covers the 49ers for NBC Sports Bay Area. And let's pick it up right there. Jennifer, good morning. Joe Spadoni alongside Joe Shasky. What did you make of the Juwan Jennings, Kyle Shanahan back and forth, them yelling at each other, them kind of, you know, Kyle poo-pooing it, you know, Juwan saying, hey, you got to ask Kyle about it. And do you think that's going to have lingering effects going forward?
I think generally with Kyle, it's kind of one and done. So he's over it, and I think Juwan should be as well. But there was definitely some serious conflict that lasted longer than one or two plays. They were definitely kind of jawing at each other for several minutes during the game. And
listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Didn't seem to calm down much, but Juan didn't go back out in the game. So it's not like he was like, okay, you're done for the day. He went back out there and had one catch. But not what we've seen from Juan in the past. I don't know whether that has been an issue for him. I have no idea. But Juan has been out of practice, and you know, all he does, all he wants is to play. He's got bonus incentives in his contract now, so getting out there on the field is really important to him financially.
So did you said he wants to get out there? I didn't get clarity. Did he practice yesterday, Juan?
He did practice yesterday in a limited fashion, so he was out there.
Okay, and Ricky Pearsall did not.
Correct.
Gotcha. Okay, so right now, if you had to make a guess, who are their wideouts on Sunday night?
I think it's what you've been seeing in the past. I think it is Juwan Jennings, Kendrick Bourne. Sky Moore was working on the side field, so I think he'll be out there to return. Potentially, Jordan Watkins will do that. He was also out there. He hasn't been out there in a while with a calf injury, so he was out there. Also limited fashion, but it's going to be Marquez Valdez-Scantling. It's going to be DeMarcus Robinson, Juwan, and Kendrick. So that's what you're probably going to see on Sunday night.
Okay, now getting to the quarterback. I saw some videos of Brock Purdy kind of throwing or whatever. Did he do rollouts? Did he, did he sprint? Did he cut? Like, I don't know. When people say limited participant, most of us fans don't have a feel for like what that looks like.
He did the usual stuff. Again, Mac Jones has taken the first rep, so usually that kind of indicates who could start. So when we asked Kyle Shanahan, you know, who is more limited, Brock is more limited with the toe than Mac Jones is with the knee and the obliques. So both of them are kind of banged up, but I think Mac Jones is going to get another start on Sunday.
What foot is it for Brock Purdy?
I think it's his right, but no one's ever specified, but I do think it's his right toe, which, you know, is push-off toe. So that makes a huge difference in his throws and his mechanics. And so remember Trey Lance and the finger. No one wants to have a small injury like that change a body mechanic of a quarterback because that can be detrimental in the long run. So, you know, they don't want to put Brock out there before it's time. So I think it's going to be Mac Jones again on Sunday night.
Talking to Jennifer Lee Chan here on the River Islands guest line, Morning Roast, Spadoni and Chasky. Jennifer covers the 49ers for NBC Sports Bay Area, does a hell of a job. She's been at all the practices. She is very tapped in on the lay of the land down there. And Jennifer, the big talking points obviously have been the quarterbacks and what to expect from them. And, you know, Kyle, you know, seems to love what Mac Jones is doing. How could you not, given where he was prior to this season as a backup? Like, I don't know. Would you guess that Brock is back? Like, if you had to guess, educated, you don't know here. Yeah, next week, Texans, the week after against the Giants. I only say that because the trade deadline is fastly approaching. And I wonder where this team feels like they're at. Are they closer to being buyers, sellers? I know I'm throwing a lot at you right now, Jennifer, but where would you guess, you know, Brock Purdy would return?
I mean, I think if he does more this week, the fact that he's limited and not out this week makes it look like he's on his way back. So potentially next week or the week after. I know they want to be careful with him, but the fact that he's limited this week and he is throwing, I think that does help. I would say next week at the earliest. So trade deadline wise, you know, now it just depends on if they win this week and they win the next week, then yes, I think, okay, then they got a chance. But they're not in a situation where one player puts them over the top. In 2019, one player put them over the top. It was Emmanuel Sanders, and it did change the dynamics of the whole team, right? So getting Emmanuel Sanders did push them towards the playoffs and into the Super Bowl. And Chase Young was 2023. He was the guy that they thought was going to push them over the edge. He had a great Super Bowl, not a great, you know, playoff run. But I think, you know, when you're looking at the roster, is there one player that's going to push them over the top? I don't know. I think they need two or three. So that might be too expensive for them to do that. Reading between the lines of what Kyle Shanahan said yesterday or Monday, it was like, yeah, we're always looking, but, you know, we're not in the same position as we were in 2019 or 2023. So I don't know if they do it, but if they win the next two or three games, then maybe they do. Then it's, you know, okay, you've got a chance, a bigger chance. So then maybe one player or two player does push you over the edge. But at this point, I think they're just kind of going to see how it goes.
What's going on with George Kittle at practice? What's he able to do?
He did everything that he normally does in that early portion of practice that's open. I mean, we only get to watch the first, like, 15 minutes where they're doing kind of, you know, their calisthenics with the training staff. They do positional drills. He looked like himself when he was running and catching passes from Matt Jones and Brock Purdy, so that's a good sign. He didn't look, you know, he is listed as limited, but he didn't look like he was not doing things that he normally does in pre-practice. He was doing everything that we've seen him past.
Okay. What's going on with Brandon Ayuk? Is his window ever going to open up here? Is it just kind of, we don't know? I mean, will we see him potentially before the deadline?
Kyle Shanahan said on Monday that potentially, you know, the target date is week 10. So we're still a few weeks off. This is a year anniversary. Week-wise, it was week 7 last year when he tore his ACL, MCL, and suffered that cartilage damage. And just, it's a devastating, horrific injury. You know, it's crazy to me that Malik Mustafa is back on the field already with the ACL injury. He healed so fast. I know it was a graft that tore. But, I mean, everybody wants Brandon Ayuk to be back on the field. It's been a long road. He's, you know, John Lynn said he's out on the practice field rehabbing, but it's just, that one's a tough one to come back from because there was so much complication in the knee injury. So they want him to come back, of course, and they hope so, but it's not until, you know, they don't have a timeline yet. So the target date is hopefully around week 10.
Jennifer, what do you think the ceiling is on this season right now? I think that's where a lot of Niner fans are looking, like, okay, how many more big blows can we take? Bosa out for the year, Fred Warner out for the year. We've missed Kittle for basically the entire season outside of a half. We've missed our starting quarterback. We played $200+ million for most of the games this season. And somehow, some way, they are 4-2. But what do you think is, I know, it's crazy. Like, what do you think the ceiling is on this team and this squad right now?
I know it's a lot to be seen right now. Fred Warner is a huge loss. Tatum Bethune, I thought, did a nice job. But there were a lot of mistakes on the defense during the game, you know, missed assignments. And so whether they can clean that up with Tatum Bethune and Dee Winters behind the defensive line, they're going to have to play all 11. So, you know, they need to have everybody contribute. They need to, you know, and Bijan Robinson this Sunday, yeah, going to be a tough one. So the defensive line needs to really stop the run and help out Tatum Bethune and Dee Winters because, you know, Fred Warner obviously does it all, and he's one of the best players in the league. And for him to be, you know, out for the season is a huge blow. But they have a lot of faith. Christian McCaffrey told me yesterday, he's like, you know, these guys run hard, they play fast, they hit. He's like, I'm excited to see what they have to do. So, you know, I think this next game where we see what Tatum Bethune and Dee Winters can do out there without Fred, that's the true test. So then you can kind of gauge a little bit more how they'll look the rest of the season. You know, the thing about Fred Warner is that he's such a leader that everything he does and says still lingers, even when he's not in the locker room. The fact that he spoke to the team after the injury and was positive, I think that means a lot to the team. They are still riding on that, okay, Fred Warner says that we have to keep fighting, that we have to keep playing hard. And, you know, for him to be positive in the light of the injury that he had, I think that impacts the team so much. And so, you know, as much as his leadership can kind of linger in his absence, I think that will help. But Sunday is going to be a true test, and we'll kind of see where they are at that point on Sunday night. Then we'll kind of know what the barometer will be for the rest of the season.
Talking to Jennifer Lee Chan here on the Morning Rose, courtesy of the River Islands Guest Line. Jennifer covers the 49ers, NBC Sports Bay Area. Jennifer, what are they saying in Kyle Shanahan and the coaching staff about Mykel Williams this season? First-round pick, number 11 overall out of Georgia. A lot of expectations for this guy. It's kind of their highest draft pick in a long time. And what have they made, like Kyle Shanahan, some of the defensive staff, Chris Kocurek, what have you, about his development this season?
They really like what he's done. He had a little bit of a setback with the hyperextension of the knee, so you know, that kind of set him back a little bit. The more reps he gets, the better he keeps getting. You know, he got his first sack on Sunday, which is great. I think a lot of it for young guys, especially in this position, you know, especially as a first-round draft pick, it takes a little while to get their confidence. You know, there's a lot of pressure on a first-round pick, and even more pressure with Nick Bosa being gone. Now there's so much responsibility on the rest of the defensive line to stop the run, to get pressure. And it's not necessarily, you know, a guy who gets a ton of sacks. He's a guy who stops the run. He stuffs the middle. And so for him to be able to They don't want to put too much on him, but for him to stay in the middle and stop the run, which would be a test on Sunday, I think his confidence is going to go up as long as he keeps making plays. And they've liked his development so far. The medical issues coming out, like after that hypertension, it always sets a player back, especially a rookie. You know, it's a big transition from college to the NFL, and he's going to get there. It's just going to take him a little bit of time, but he's, you see progress every week.
So one, under the radar roster thing that's been driving me insane for about a month now, Luke Gifford, I don't get why they keep suiting him up. They keep telling me he's great on special teams, yet their special team sucks, and they refuse to play the 75th overall pick in Nick Martin. Is this kid going to play? The third round is where you plug and play players. I want to see him on the field. Is there any indication that Nick Martin might get suited up this week?
I actually asked Kyle Shanahan that yesterday when he spoke, and he said now Nick Martin's got an opportunity. He's been a healthy scratch, and yes, they want him to get out there and do more, but he's going to have a chance now. So I would think that you see a little bit more from Nick Martin. Maybe he's active for game day because Fred Warner is out. I know they also want him to progress in the right way, right? They want to get him out there and have his confidence be high and not, go out there and not be ready. And then sometimes those types of bumps along the road can impact a rookie. So not saying that that's the case, but I know they want him to be confident enough to go out there and really be able to show what he's capable of. So I would think that his opportunity is coming up now that Fred Warner is out for the season, but we'll see on Sunday.
Okay. Hey, Jennifer, great stuff this morning. We really appreciate it, and hopefully we can do it again soon.
All right, sounds good. Talk to you guys soon.
There she goes. Jennifer Lee Chan covers the 49ers for NBC Sports Bay Area and joined us on the River Islands Guest.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.